In his famous work, The Spiritual Exercises, the great founder of the Jesuits, St. Ignatius of Loyola, writes about spiritual consolations. St. Ignatius describes a spiritual consolation as an interior movement of the soul through which the soul comes to be inflamed with love of God. It is marked by an interior joy that calls and attracts the soul to heavenly things, and it is characterized by a profound interior peace. Now, I would like to argue, and of course you're free to disagree with me, I would like to argue that the transfiguration of our Lord on Mount Tabor was a spiritual consolation for the apostles. And I think this for two reasons. First, we observe the effects of this consolation in St. Peter's reaction to the transfiguration. St. Peter, inflamed with the love of God, whom he encounters in a profound way in the transfiguration, says, "Master, it is good that we are here. Let us make three tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." The word tent means tabernacle. So, in other words, St. Peter says, let us make three tabernacles, let us make three dwelling places where the glory of the Lord's divinity can dwell among us so that our souls can be permanently drawn to heavenly things. All the seminarians know that in the spiritual life, we want to cling to spiritual consolations. We want them to last forever on this earth. So we cling to them and want to set up permanent tabernacles to keep those spiritual consolations. That's the first reason why I think it's a consolation. The second reason that I think that the transfiguration of our Lord on Mount Tabor was a spiritual consolation for the apostles is that Jesus was talking to Moses and Elijah about his death. It says that very specifically in Spanish, right? In the Spanish Mass that I'll have next at 11:30, it says, "Alaban de la muerte que le esperaba en Jerusalén." They were talking about the death that was expected in Jerusalem. It's clear in the Spanish, right? He's talking about his death. In our English translation, it says he's talking about his exodus that he's going to accomplish in Jerusalem. That's because Jesus is the new Moses, who, like Moses in the Exodus of the Old Testament, will lead all of the people of the world out of slavery and bondage to sin, to freedom and the promised land of heaven. Do you know what our Lord was talking about immediately before he was transfigured on Mount Tabor? Take a look at verse 22. Just a couple of verses before. It says, "Jesus told his disciples that the Son of Man must suffer greatly and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised." You can imagine that the disciples are probably surprised and shocked to hear for the very first time this devastating news that our Lord is going to suffer and die. So what does the Lord do in his love and mercy? He gives them a spiritual consolation. Pope St. Leo the Great writes, "The great reason for our Lord's transfiguration was to remove the scandal of the cross from the hearts of his disciples and to prevent his voluntary suffering from disturbing the faith of those who had witnessed his surpassing glory." In other words, it's a spiritual consolation. It's as if Jesus says to his apostles, "Your memory of my divine glory and splendor on Mount Tabor will give you great consolation as you witness my suffering and death." You see, their memory of the Lord's glory in Mount Tabor will console them in the midst of their experience of the Lord's cross. And I think this lesson is also important for us. You see, during difficult moments when we're suffering and fasting or carrying a heavy cross, when we're in pain and during persecution and trial and anguish and distress, and in the midst of our Lenten sacrifice and discipline, in the midst of this Lenten desert, is the Transfiguration. The Transfiguration. In the midst of the Lenten desert is a transfiguration, which is meant to console us. A brief moment where we've received the radiance of God's presence and the glory of God. We can find spiritual consolation in knowing that God is with us always and that He promises never to abandon or forsake us, even during difficult times. So you know that our good friend Father Joshua likes to give you homework. So here is my homework. I'd like you to think of those moments in your life when you've received, as St. Ignatius of Loyola would say, a spiritual consolation from God. I would call it a Mount Tabor experience. I want you to think about, in your own life, a Mount Tabor experience. I know you have them. Over the past almost 28 years of my priesthood, I wish I would have kept a journal and written down those Mount Tabor moments of so many good souls like yourself, who were inflamed with the love of God, who received an interior joy and peace that drew them to heavenly things. What is a Mount Tabor experience in your life? Maybe it was a vision, a voice, a miracle, an experience. Maybe it happened on retreat, in a spiritual place, on pilgrimage, and in spiritual direction, during the consecration of the Mass, after receiving Holy Communion, during your holy hour on Thursday, something. Some experience that so inflamed you with the love of God and gave you an interior joy and peace that drew you right up to heavenly things. What's your Mount Tabor experience? It's important to remember it, because when we're fasting and suffering and carrying a heavy cross in the midst of pain, persecution, trial, distress, we're consoled by these Mount Tabor experiences. There's a great spiritual Carmelite author, Father Gabriel of St. Mary Magdalene. Some of you might be familiar. He wrote the famous work called Divine Intimacy, who in the Lord's providence died 72 years ago yesterday on the Ides of March in the year 1953. And he wrote in his meditation about the Transfiguration, he said that spiritual consolations are never an end in themselves, and we should neither desire them nor try to retain them for our own satisfaction. Interesting. They're not an end in themselves. We shouldn't desire them and want them or try to hold on to them like St. Peter for our own satisfaction. He says, God does not console us for our entertainment, but rather for our encouragement, for our strengthening, for the increase of our generosity in suffering for love of Him. It's really profound, isn't it? It's very deep, right? Spiritual consolations, they're not an end in themselves. We shouldn't desire them. We shouldn't try to hold on to them and cling to them, but God gives them to us from time to time to encourage us, to strengthen us, especially during times of difficulty. My thought is that we should be humbly grateful for these consolations that we receive from the Lord. To spend time in profound gratitude for those Mount Tabor experiences that you've had, that have brought you that consolation. What more can we say? Perhaps we can conclude with the words of St. Paul, who writes about this very thing as he begins his second letter to the Corinthians, when he says, "Praise be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all consolation. He consoles us in all our afflictions, and thus enables us to console others who are suffering afflictions with the same consolation that we have received from him.